You are about to listen to a special presentation of the Snow Nose Gardening Show. This was aired back on January 15th on News Radio 1070 WINA. If you have any questions, visit them at www.snownose.com or, of course, you can stop by in person at 1875 Avon Street in Charlottesville, Virginia. Grab them by phone at 434-295-2159.
Good morning. This is the Snow Nose Gardening Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, which is conveniently located on Avon Street Extended. Who's thinking about gardening?
I am.
I am too. I went to a gardening landscape trade show yesterday down in North Carolina, and it's amazing the amount of new plants and things that are constantly coming out. And you walk through these trade shows and you see all these beautiful plants, and you're thinking, man, I can't wait for spring. So anyhow, there's a lot of new products, a lot of great things are happening. It's an exciting time.
It is.
You know, one thing I've been thinking about, today is supposed to be almost 50. What are they saying, 48, 50? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is great. So if you have any leaves left on your yard that you have not gotten up, any little piles of leaves, remember, it's killing the grass. And so it's just going to cause you more work. Today would be a great day to go out and get things cleaned up and to clean out those beds, clean out any piles of leaves that might still be remaining on your lawn. And then I thought of one other thing that it would be a great thing to do today is clean out your gutters. Gutters have a tendency to get stopped up this time of year with the way the wind's been blowing and blowing trash and debris up. And if you never cleaned it out from the fall, you know it's full of leaves. And so when we get heavier rain or heavy snow, it puts a lot of weight on the gutter, which could pull it away from the house. Or two, as it overflows, it could put water down beside the house, which would cause water in the basement. And so just by keeping those gutters cleaned out, it solves a lot of problems.
It can also cause those gutters to overflow, which not only comes down and can cause water in the basement, but it can also run back the other direction against the eaves and the soffits of the house and cause you some real nasty
structural
issues
damage, yeah.
Along the structural damage and rot on that right at the edge of your roof that'll gradually work its way on back, and that's not something you want to think about having to replace.
Now, if you're getting to be my age, don't get up on the ladder. You know, I guess it's been a couple of years ago. We have a large raised, like a cathedral ceiling in our living room. And there's some large light bulbs up in the eave of the room. And so I have this long pole, and I was trying to get the light bulb in and change it. And I just couldn't get it loose. And I said, well, I'll climb up on the ladder and do it by hand rather than using the telescopic pole. And so I pulled out the ladder and I started climbing up, and I said, you know, if I get up on this ladder, I'm going to have to be up on the very top level. And that's the first rule of step ladders, is you never stand on the tip top.
Nope.
You have nothing to hold on to. But I said, I can do this. You know how you say, watch this? Or, your mind starts to lie to you. So I started up the ladder with a light bulb in hand and got up and got ready to put my step up on that last rung, a top. And a voice said to me, you really don't want to do this. So I climbed back down, got the pole out one more time, and decided to try to change it with the attachment on the end of the pole. So as I reached up and touched the light, sparks flew.
Yikes.
And I said, oh my gosh, suppose I had, climbed up on that top rung, grabbed hold of that light, and the sparks flew. I got shocked,
You wouldn't even have to get shocked, just the sparks flying and that, ooh, what was that?
No,
be enough to knock you off top of that ladder.
So, a lot of times you have a tendency to think, I can do this. Yes.
All of us think, regardless of how long ago it was, we all still think we're 25.
I'm not any older.
I know.
You know, you heard the story about the man that was cleaning out his gutters, and he tied a rope around his wife, around his waist, and threw it over the roof and called his daughter and said, "Tie it to something substantial." So she tied it to the car bumper. About 20 minutes later, his wife came out to get in the car to go somewhere, didn't see the rope, backed up, and pulled him off the roof. So if you're tying yourself to something, don't tie yourself to the car bumper either. But anyhow, it's a good chore that you need to accomplish. You need to get your gutters cleaned out. If you need help with that, call Snows. We'd be glad to do that. Or if you've got someone younger in your family that you can tie a rope around and let them do it, or a good long ladder that you can, you know, maintain and keep it, someone holding the ladder, that would be the safest way to do it.
Right.
Okay, we've got a call.
It's an anniversary. 33 years, but I can't read the name.
Well, we'll turn it over to the young guys.
The young guys can't do a whole lot with the handwriting either.
Who wrote
somebody
that?
Somebody wrote it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was an anniversary. It was called into us a little while ago. The couple has been married for 33 years, but unfortunately we can't read the name. It was written down really quick. And we can't quite read the handwriting. So anyhow, if you've been married for 33 years, congratulations. Give us a call, and we'll get your name on there. We could guess at it, but I don't want to butcher it too bad and get anybody, you know, get anybody's feelings hurt. So just give us a call back, and we'll be glad to get your name on there when we do it right.
I was thinking about, you know, 33 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, boy, that's a bad word to say. We're coming up, my wife and I, on 44 years this year.
Yeah, that's not something you want to say, I think.
That could be bad news. Let's see.
That might get the rope tied to the bumper of the car.
I'm not going to be up on that roof, trust me. We live on kind of unlevel areas, and so in order to get my ladder solid so it doesn't slide back and forth on the edge of the gutter, I take an old tennis shoe out. And I read this somewhere. Take an old tennis shoe out and our tennis shoe and put it up underneath of the bottom of the ladder, and you can use that to help level, or you can, if it's a surface that might, you know, skid. A tennis shoe does great.
The other thing it'll do too is if you've got a lot of mulch in your beds or your soil is soft and the ladder, you find the ladder starting to sink and settle on one side.
I get popcorn in my bed sometimes. I'm mulch.
But stick the putting the tennis shoe up under there will help to spread out the weight of the ladder.
Exactly.
Won't dig down and sink down into the soil quite as bad either.
Okay, if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to join us, feel free to call 977-1070. We'd be glad to take your call. Otherwise, we've just got so many things to talk about, we'll just continue right along.
That's right. One thing, you know, just going back real briefly to gutters and everything, I cleaned ours out along the front of the house when I was up there cleaning the chimney out right before we started firing the wood stove up back to the first part of December. And I was looking at the other day, and it looks like I haven't touched them. And
no,
they were absolutely clean a month and a half ago, and it looks like I haven't touched them.
No, that's what I was saying. They get stopped up in a hurry. You know, I've seen people let their gutters go so long that acorns are sprouting. You know, they'll have 3 or 4 inches of growth on an acorn with oak trees. So it's, you know, they've got water problems.
Yep.
Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Yes, I wonder, now that the soil is frozen in our pots, should we be watering the plants, you know, such as our boxwoods or Japanese maples or whatever we have in pots, I mean, while the ground is frozen?
Absolutely. You know, I've got a man out today. We laid 4 pallets of sod yesterday. And we're watering it again today, and so if you've planted anything recently, you need to water.
Now these are long term; they've been in pots for years, and so.
And I was going to add, and if you have anything in a pot at all, you water it every time it starts getting above 32, as long as it's not more than maybe a couple of times a week. But that's why we don't guarantee plants in pots. People think that because it's cold, that the plants don't need water. But they're constantly losing moisture through their leaves.
Right, and sometimes even, you know, this time of year, it's exacerbated by the fact that the pot does freeze, and then with the cold wind that's always seems to be blowing this time of year, they're still losing moisture out of the leaves, and they have a difficult time pulling that moisture up out of that frozen container. So anytime that soil starts to thaw out at all, it needs to be good and wet, because those plants are going to be starved for water as soon as that stuff becomes liquid again. And it's amazing how quickly the soil in those pots thaws out.
Oh, okay. Well, this winter, as you know, the temperatures rarely get up above 30. So would today, I guess, would be a good day to water them.
Yeah,
today would be a great day.
All right. And, thank you so much.
And if you don't do it, and you go all winter, we don't get enough snow as a rule. I know that last year was different. But usually, you know, you think about an inch of snow is roughly 10 inches. I'm sorry, 10 inches of snow is roughly an inch of water.
Right.
So unless, you know, we're getting a foot of snow, you're not getting that much moisture down into that pot. So water them when it goes above freezing.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. We need to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
And welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you'd like to ask. Anything having to do with your house plants, your lawn, your trees and shrubs, even though it's wintertime, there's lots going on, lots to talk about. So if anything that you're having a challenge with or running into problems, just give us a call. Or anything that you're thinking about for spring that you'd like to run by us for an idea, we'd be glad to help you out with it.
We've got lots of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You were going to talk about houseplants.
Right. One of the things, you know, it's not as comfortable to be out working around in the garden this time of year as it is in the spring and summer.
That's true, but there's some things you need to do.
Absolutely.
Get those leaves up and clean those gutters.
Right. There's a lot of things that need to be done outside, but a lot of us, you know, just by nature, you know, start to think more indoor projects and working on things inside the house. And one of the things that we often kind of sometimes take for granted, sometimes don't even really think about, is houseplants and the role that houseplants play inside the home. Not only are they great for looks, you know, great design element for the house and help to bring a little bit of the outdoors inside and you know all of the calming benefits of being able to have some greenery in the house and all that brings, but they also do a tremendous amount to help to purify the air inside your home.
Yeah, NASA did a study, and they said that 18 to 20 houseplants will help purify your air. You know, we talk a lot about carbon and you know, we're talking about carbon dioxide. And what do plants do?
That's almost acts like a fertilizer for them.
It does. It that's their main nutrition. That's what they take in.
That's right.
Carbon dioxide. And then they release oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But the studies have shown, and you may have that written down somewhere, but the studies have shown it cleans formaldehyde out of the air, other toxic fumes, the carbon dioxide. So even with the windows shut up and, you know, to maintain the heat, you're still having a fresh supply of clean oxygen in the house because of the houseplants.
And with the energy efficient homes that we have now, it's much more important than it was 50 years ago when, you know, most homes, let's face it, were kind of drafty. And, you know, you get an older home and they still are kind of drafty. But the more you do to help seal up the home, which, you know, for energy efficiency and everything else is critical. I mean, who wants to live in a cold house? And number two, who wants to be spent throwing money away on heat that's just going out through all kinds of cracks and everything in the home? So we try to have our homes sealed up as tight as we can to help reduce fuel costs and energy usage through the winter. But that also, in reducing the amount of drafts that come into the home, you not only cut down on the amount of energy that you use, but you also reduce the amount of air that's exchanged from the outside into the inside of the home, and in the process, all of those contaminants and pollutants that are generated in, and they come from a variety of sources. If you've got new carpeting and paint that you've used, any varnishes or treatments that you've put on onto the wood surfaces of your home,
and viruses and things that you bring in.
Right,
it is a proven fact, and this is not something that we've made up, but it is a proven fact that if you have houseplants, you're healthier by doing so.
Right.
So let me ask you. You can go out and buy some very nice, realistic, artificial plants.
Mm-hmm.
What value does that have on your health?
None.
Exactly.
In fact, it can almost be,
it can almost add to the problem.
Yeah, if you've had them for a long time, artificial, silk plants are great dust catchers. And that dust sits on there, and it's very, very difficult to get it off of there.
And in addition to the plants helping you in terms of cleaning the air, they also add a lot of humidity to the dry winter air.
Right.
Typically, Rena will go and water our house plants usually once a week, and she'll fill up probably three or four, maybe four or five, two-quart pitcher, two-quart pitcher four or five times to pour on the house plants to get them all watered for the week. So you're thinking that as those plants go through the week, that moisture is being released back into the air.
That's right.
So it helps your furniture. It helps your breathing. It helps things from drying out, your wood from drying out and cracking.
It helps so when you grab the refrigerator door, you don't shock yourself.
Exactly. That's a good point. I can't remember being shocked at all this winter. So plants make a difference in your home. So,
and a good rule of thumb for how many to have and what you need to get a good benefit is one plant minimum pot size is 6 inches for every 100 square feet of house that you have. So if you've got a 1,000 square foot house, you need 10 six inch house plants. If you've got a 2,000 square foot home, you need 20.
But if you've got some large house plants,
you can cut down on the number. Right.
When we got back from the Philippines, that was the first thing we did once we started getting back into the house and getting things fixed up again. If you remember, I got in about 25 house plants specifically for the house. Is this call for us?
I told them we had that. If they call back.
Okay, right after the break. So we've got about 2 minutes before the break. Okay, then we'll take a break in a couple of minutes, but some of the things we're going to be talking about, we put in a raised bed, a vegetable garden at our house this last spring. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about that and the amount of vegetables that we got out of a raised bed that was 35 feet long and 5 feet wide, and what a tremendous difference it is gardening with a raised bed. So we'll spend more time talking about that, and we've still got...
See, 2 minutes is a long time.
Back in the old days, we didn't have to worry about when we started, but with the new computers and everything, if you don't end and start right on time, you're in trouble. We got about 30 seconds. Okay, 30 seconds.
Just one last thing before we take the break. Going back to the houseplants and everything. There's a great list of ones that work well, but pretty much any of the ones that are available in a standard nursery or greenhouse are going to be on that list. So it's a great opportunity to benefit yourself and just do great things for your home and your family. We will be back in just a few minutes with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
This is the Snow Nose Gardening Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, conveniently located on Avon Street Extended. We are open all winter, just in case you're wondering.
That's right.
And our crews are out working all winter. You're kind of wondering what we do this time of year? Well, if you drive up behind Charlottesville's Fashion Square Mall, you'll see our crews pruning the streetscape trees along through there. If you go over in some of the subdivisions, you'll see us putting in retaining walls, sod, planting trees, shrubs. So you think, how do you do that in this cold weather? It takes a long, it takes a lot longer.
And you dress warm.
But we stay busy year-round if we're not planting and solving gardening issues, then we're pushing snow. So we do it all. So we are busy. And by the way, we'd like to thank everyone for a great year last year. We had, despite the economy, we had probably one of the best years we've ever had. So we really, really appreciate all that you do to help keep us successful in your feedback and the things that you tell us. I've got a question for you. Oh, no, I'm going to do a quiz in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you, let's see how many questions it is. It's 10 gardening questions. If you get a pen and paper and take this quiz, now you can't cheat. Okay, you got this is you're on your honor on this test. But they're all gardening questions. If you get all 10 right, the first three people that call in and they get it all right, we will give you a bag of bumper crop. Corbin's not here. I can do that. Okay? We're going to talk about some other things for about 10 minutes, and then we're going to do the gardening quiz. And then if you got them all right, the first three people that call in will receive a free bag of bumper crop. All right? That is the best stuff that's come down the pike in, I won't say since sliced bread, because that's a cliche that everybody uses. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about vegetable gardens. You know, a lot of people like the vegetable garden and, you know, but the thought of going out and rototilling an area and plowing and especially if you're a baby boomer, that's almost getting out of the question now. If you're newly married, or you have you're a soccer mom, you have three or four children, and you're running all the time, the old style of gardening of going out and plowing up, you know, half an acre or 50 by 100 foot area or something like that. I mean, that's practically gone. Wouldn't you agree?
Unless you live out in the country with a lot of room and a lot of time on your hands.
There are people that do that. There are people that do that, and I'm not saying. But for most people,
it's not. It's just not practical to have, number one, to devote that much space, because you know with the way subdivisions are constructed these days, there's just not that kind of room.
But
that you can devote.
You can put in a raised bed vegetable garden, and it becomes fun for you, and it becomes fun for the children
mm-hmm.
to actually go out and raise something. And so the thing, see, where you know most kids today have no concept of where their food comes from.
That's right. Well, I saw something really that was really scary, sad. This a few months ago was on TV. A guy who was a professional chef went into a grade school. It was the first grade class, and had samples of about 8 or 10 different kinds of fresh produce: tomatoes and eggplant and onion and broccoli and not. Forget what all he had, held them up, asked the kids, what's this? Held up a bunch of tomatoes and got blank stares and went on down through the list. And a whole class of first grade kids had no idea what all these fresh fruits and vegetables were. They had no clue.
So to get back to the point, if you think about putting in a raised bed, you can do it so it's a work of art. We put one raised bed over in the Green Meadowbrook area this year. That's all made out of natural stone, and it was 30 feet long, about 5 feet wide, and I mean it's a major part of the landscape. We'll take this phone call and we'll come back and finish this.
Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, how about the artificial plants? How do I get the dust off those artificial plants? With air compressor?
Yeah, that's probably going to be the best way. Some of them you can wash you know, with a, you know, just wash off with the hose and it doesn't hurt them. But I test that on a couple of leaves before you do it over the whole plant.
And you don't need to use soap. You can just take a wet sponge and just wipe them off.
Right.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Get rid of that artificial plant.
I will do that. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So, over in another subdivision where it was a new family, all of these have had small children, and they've all designated a part of the garden for the children. Off of Ridge Street, back in the new area back in Johnson Village, I put a raised bed in off the edge of a slope. Last year I put one at my house. Now, in a bed that's 35 feet long, 5 feet wide, I put 6 tomato plants and had all the fresh tomatoes I could eat. All summer long, starting around the 1st of July, I had fresh tomatoes all summer long up until probably 1st of October. I had enough tomatoes to give away. I've had enough tomatoes to have some of them rot. And I had enough tomatoes to make salsa and put it up. And we had fresh salsa all the time during the summer. You just grab, you know, 5 or 6 fresh tomatoes, throw them in the blender, throw in a couple of hot peppers and a little bit of sugar, a little bit of vinegar, and
cilantro.
That's the other one. And you push that grinder, and it just... boom, you've got it. And you have never tasted anything good as fresh salsa. I mean, you can buy some bottle stuff that you think is pretty good, but until you make it fresh, you have no concept of how good it can be. And so that was just one thing. Then we had, along the back edge, we had snap peas. And I love fresh snap peas pulled off the vine. We had carrots. We had... a couple rows of beans. We had some herbs mixed in there, basil, marjoram, and oregano, you know, some of the basic ones, and they're still there. And we did a couple of crops of beans, and then we did cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts, not all at one time. Some of these were staggered as some crops finished up. So... it's amazing what you can do with a raised bed. You can do it very cheaply by just getting some 2x6 and nailing them to a post that you put in the ground. Or you can even there's a lot of things to do it, ways to do it. And if you want to do it yourself, just go online and type in raised beds, and you'll have more information than you want. If you want someone to come out and advise you how to do it and do it for you, we'd be glad to do that. But I'm telling you, I know that. Just hang on. I'll be with you in just 1 second. I want to finish this thought. But it's expensive when you first do it. If you do it architecturally, beautiful,
right?
And you think, man, I could buy enough vegetables for the next 10 years. And that's true. But you can't buy vegetables tomatoes that taste as good,
right?
I mean, even if they say homegrown, they still don't taste that good. And once you go through that expense of getting it,
it's there.
And so for the next, 15, 20, 30 years, you're able to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a major investment. And it's something that you will enjoy doing.
Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want a question about weeds in my lawn. That it looks real green now. In spite of the cold weather, it still looks green. I think some of it is the hens something kind of weed and other weeds. And also, the chickweed will make its appearance now in early March. What do you do about these problems?
Come in, when it first starts to warm up, we start getting days consistently in the low to mid 50s. You can come in and spray with a product called Weed Beater Ultra, and that will take out pretty much all of those broadleaf weeds that you're seeing, all of the henbit, the chickweed that comes up. It'll get the dandelions that are starting to crop in at that point. All of those cool season weeds that are starting to come up at that, you know, once that weather first starts to warm up a little bit, it'll wipe all of them out. And by doing it real early like that, you get them before they have a chance to really take over and go to seed and start causing problems for next year.
You're saying the first warm days we have, that's not apt to happen anytime soon, do you think?
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, you think that's not possible, but in the past we've seen many a times where we'll have a warm spell where temperatures will go up in the 60s for 4 or 5 days and then go back down and winter will come back. So it could happen. So if it does, just be ready to do it.
All right. And will you tell me that name again, please?
Weed Beater Ultra.
Weed Beater, BEATER?
Correct.
Ultra. Okay. And this is a liquid you put, or is it a granular?
No, it's a liquid.
Uh-huh. All righty. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, for any post-emergent weed control, any weeds that you're trying to kill that have already germinated and the plants are already there, I would never use a granular on them. It's just too hard to get the product to stick on the leaf long enough and then the weed, the actual weed killer that's in it to get out onto the leaf and actually cause damage and everything.
And and most of that stuff goes directly into the soil because it does roll off the leaves.
Right.
And if it's not absorbed, then it doesn't work.
Right.
And so, you know, you're going to be hearing a lot about the Chesapeake Bay and what we're doing to try to clean it up. And that's one of the things that's going to be happening. You want to apply the material when it needs it, no more than you need. And we're going to be cutting back on phosphorus and other things that pollute the streams and rivers around us. We've already started.
Good morning. Whoops. Lost them.
Okay. All right, call back. We'll be glad to take your call. We've got how many long before the break? 30 seconds. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. This is the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Are you ready for your quiz? You need a pen, a paper, pencil to paper, pencil in a box top, anything. And you can just number them and just put A, B, C, or D. That will be they're not true or false. And the first three winners that call in will receive a free bag of bumper crop. And you will see a major difference with your plants, even house plants, if you use bumper crop. And we'll talk more about that at another program. But, okay, let's start. What is not true about tomatoes? I'm going to tell you four things. Which one of these four things is not true? People used to think tomatoes were poisonous. They are the official juice of Ohio. China is the biggest producer of tomatoes. There are 57 varieties of tomatoes. Which one of these is not true?
So just write down your answer, A, B, C, or D.
Say it again real quick. People used to think they were poisonous. They are the official juice of Ohio. China is the biggest producer of tomatoes. There are 57 varieties of tomatoes.
Question number two. Which of the following is a member of the daisy family? Lettuce, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, or leeks? Lettuce, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, or leeks?
Question three. What percent of the corn grown in the United States is used to feed livestock? 10%, 30%, 50%, 70%. Question again, what percent of the corn grown in the United States is used to feed livestock? 10, 30, 50, or 70? Shall we take this? Oh, they're gone. Call back, and we'll interrupt the quiz or you can call back right after we finish the quiz.
There you go. Which of the following crops makes the top 10 list of the most popular vegetables grown in American gardens? So which one of these is in the top 10 list of most popular garden vegetables in the United States? Corn, tomatoes, cucumbers, or carrots? The corn, tomatoes, cucumbers, or carrots?
What was 8 feet, 8 inches tall? The largest edible fungi? The tallest sunflower? The tallest tomato plant? The largest leaf? That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the what was 8 foot, 8 inches tall? That's taller than a bread box. The largest edible fungi? The tallest sunflower? The tallest tomato plant? The largest leaf?
How old is the longest living bristlecone pine tree? And this is supposedly the longest living of any plant that they found. What is the oldest, or how old is the longest living bristlecone pine tree? About 700 years, about 1,000 years, about 5,000 years, or about 7,000 years? So 700, 1,000, 5,000, or 7,000 years?
I don't think we will give away any bumper crop. Okay, question seven. The fastest growing tree grows at what rate per month? 5 inches, a foot, 2 feet, or 2.5 feet? Question again. The fastest growing tree grows at what rate per month? 5 inches, 1 foot, 2 foot, or 2.5?
And before you start getting any ideas, it probably doesn't go around here and would not make a good landscape plant. Anything grows that quick, it's going to fall over pretty quick, too.
Would kudzu count?
It's not a tree, though.
No.
Oh, we're going to have to skip question eight. We got the answers, but not the question.
Okay, and I'm...
It didn't print out.
Okay, skip eight. Go to nine.
Which is not a member of the lily family? Which one is not a member of the lily family? Onions, okra, asparagus, or chives? Onions, okra, asparagus, or chives?
Question number 10, or question number 9 at this point. What is not true about pumpkins? They were used to treat snake bites. They were believed to remove freckles. Most of the world's supply of pumpkins come from Europe. They are 90% water. What is not true about pumpkins? They were used to treat snake bites. They were believed to remove freckles. Most of the world's supply of pumpkins come from Europe. They are 90% water. Which is not true of those? Okay, are you ready?
That last one, I can tell you from firsthand experience which one that is. But
okay, you're on your honor to grade this. First three people that call in with the correct answer is wins the. Well, we got three prizes.
Right.
And those questions are tough. Some
they
of
are
it
tough.
Just going to be pure luck.
That's right.
Okay.
So you got to be the. We're going to go down the answers and grade yourself. And if you got all of them right. The first three people to call in that had all nine questions right.
Okay, we're going to take this phone call. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Okay. How about B?
Wait a minute. We're going to give the answers. We're going to give the answers first.
Oh.
And then you call up and say whether you got them all right.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Call back in just you'll know in just a minute.
Okay.
Good morning. You on the Snow Nose Gardening Show?
Good morning. The contest?
Uh-huh. All right. We're going to give the answers right now over the air.
Oh.
And then it's you grade your own paper. If you got 100%, then call us as quick as you can, and the first three people will receive a free bag of bumper crop.
Gotcha.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay. First question. Which is not true about tomatoes? Answer, there are a lot more than 57 varieties.
Yes.
I mean, there's a Heinz 57, but there's, I don't even know how many, but I
hundreds.
Know it's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, it's so.
Question number two, which of the following is a member of the daisy family? Lettuce is a member of the daisy family.
I didn't know that. Okay, question number three. What percent of the corn grown in the United States is used to feed livestock? 50%.
That's a lot.
A lot of corn.
Question number four. Which of the following crops makes the top 10 list of the most popular vegetables grown in American gardens? Tomatoes.
I would have guessed that. Question number five. What was 8 feet, 8 inches tall? The largest edible fungi.
That's a big mushroom.
That is.
That's a big mushroom.
Take me to your leader.
Yeah. Question number six. How old is the longest living bristlecone pine tree? Over about 5,000 years old. There's a tree that's 5,000 years old. Who? How'd you like the job of counting those growth rings?
How do they know? Cut it down. Count growth rings. Okay. Let's see. We didn't do seven. Was it seven?
No, it was eight. We didn't do seven. We did.
The fastest growing tree grows at what rate per month? 2.5 feet per month. Too bad they don't tell us the
which tree it is. Yeah.
It has to be the paradise tree.
Or paulownia. Which is not a member of the lily family? Okra is not a member of the lily family.
And the final one is, what is not true about pumpkins? Most of the world's supply of pumpkins come from Europe. Is not true.
That's right. When I lived over there, I went to make a pumpkin pie around Thanksgiving, and I couldn't find pumpkin anywhere. It took about half a day of searching grocery stores and open-air markets in Amsterdam before I finally found somebody that had something close to a pumpkin. And when I bought it, he says, if you don't mind me asking, what are you going to do with that thing?
Okay, if you've got them all right, give us a call at 977-1070. The first three that call win a bag of bumper crop. Good morning. You on the Snow Nose Gardening Show?
Hi. I've got an ornamental orange tree. And those little tiny oranges on it that I brought back from Florida 27 years ago. How much water do I put on it?
How much water?
Yeah.
It all depends on the type of soil and how root bound it is. The best thing to do is water it thoroughly, like you're trying to drown it, and then leave it alone until it starts to get on the dry side. If you do not have a moisture meter, stick your finger down in there and check it. If you've never repotted it, I would repot it.
Thank you very much. I'll use the moisture meter on it.
All right, thank you. Good morning. You on the Snow Dogs Gardening Show?
Hey, I had five correct answers.
Five correct?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to put your name down. If you have the most correct of anyone, you'll win. What, your name? Your name? We lost you. Good morning. You on the Snow Nose Gardening Show?
Yeah, I want to ask the question.
Okay, we're down to 30. How many seconds we got left? We've got 20 seconds. Ask it really quick.
Oh, okay.
Okay, call in the garden center if you've got them right, and the three that have the most right will receive the prize. We will see you next week. Have a great gardening week, and stay warm.